Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. I'm going to start the intro. Hold on.
There you go.
Well, never mind, because the thing that's labeled intro is not the intro.
No, it's Skyboat Song.
Take two. We'll edit this, right?
Take two. The joys of live radio.
That is gone. Say, could that last be I? Mary of Zone, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
Oh, all righty. So, well, that was fun. Hello, Erin.
Hello.
So for those of you who are playing along at home and don't know what it's like with technology, Erin and I are in two different states and are trying to play different roles this week. So we had a little bit and I'm going to let Allison in because now she's joined us, and now we should all be online. Allison, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Yay!
Well, I can. So now that the technology part is out of the way, I'm going to turn it back over to Erin, and she can start us off like she always does.
Well, Sam, you're still going to have to let us know if there's callers, because
I will
can't
definitely
do that.
I can do this. Yes.
Yeah, like Sam said, we're having some issues tonight. I am in Florida tomorrow. I'm going to tour the brand new condo that we bought, and I bought a new pair of headphones, and I'm sitting in my hotel room, and it dawned on me that I didn't charge the headphones, but, you know, they should work if I just plug them into the computer, right? No. So I'm going to have to take some time to figure out how these actually work, because they're much higher tech headphones than I'm used to having. And nothing is working. So I hope there's actually somebody following in with us.
and laughing. But the biggest question is how was your trip down to Florida to check out your new condo? This is so exciting.
It really is.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been on the road all day. We left the house at 5:30. I had to fly to Charlotte and then have really like half an hour before we boarded, and then flew from Charlotte to Orlando. And then I had to take a shuttle because there were no rental cars from the airport.
Oh, no.
Wow.
No rental cars. I mean, it's spring break. So so I had to take a shuttle bus over to an off-site car rental place, and then figure out my way to get over here. And the traffic on I-4, for those of you who live in Florida, if there's anybody, I have heard about the legendary I-4 traffic, but have never experienced it, and it was something to see. So tomorrow I will actually meet my realtor for the first time. We bought this condo off of a video walkthrough, so we're excited, but, you know, a little nervous because we don't know exactly what it's like. So that will be the deal. So tomorrow I'll know more. But today I'm just trying to get through the day. So let's hope I don't fall asleep on everybody here. So this week, we haven't actually said hello to Allison yet. So say hi, Allison.
Hello, I'm here.
Yay. And I am on my phone at the moment, and Sam is running the control board. So
watch
she's
going
to have to let us know if we have callers and let those callers in. And she has not done this before. We did a practice session the other day, but
she will do just fine.
Yes, says she will do just fine. So anyway, there's been a lot going on this week. It's been a very exciting week. in the general Outlander world.
The Outlander-verse?
We have some new people. Yeah, the Outlander-verse. We have some new people to play with. We have the Christies. We have Alex Vlahos, who I'm thinking is going to be an incredibly fun cast member.
Yeah,
he's
seems
playing
it, doesn't he?
Alan Christie. Yeah. And then we have the now I can't remember her name. The
Jessica.
Woman playing Malva Christie.
Jessica,
right?
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
And she's a little pixie. She looks like Laura Donnelly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, little tiny dark haired. So that will be fun. And then the gentleman who's playing Tom Christie. And if anybody can find that name real quick.
Lewis. His middle name is Lewis. Hold on. Let me think. Here, you know what? Here, I can do this. Here, it's Mark Lewis Jones. Jessica Reynolds, Alexander Vlahos, and Mark Lewis Jones. And you know how I know this? Because our good friend of the radio show, Kathy from Cats in Kilts, did this really cute little video of Meet the Christies that she sung on her own to the tune of Meet the Flintstones. It is so cute.
It is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful.
I have to watch that today. I have not had a chance. So.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be, the actors themselves are going to be a fun addition. The storyline is not a fun storyline. And
well,
we're not going to give it away here.
Storyline.
Yes. Yes, it certainly is. And it will be still to be seen how much of it they get into. So
yeah. Right. And evidently, if you've been traveling all day, you didn't see Alexander Vlahos had actually posted that evidently today was a very intense day of filming or something like that, to that
Where
tune.
Where did he post that?
I think he's on Twitter. Instagram. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, people...
I saw a walk up to his trailer.
Yeah. And then of course, people like to evidently tease him and gave him a hard time about evidently he's a sugar addict or something, or he ate a whole bunch of sugar or something.
Well, it'll be interesting. We now have a new friend to play with. So we got that, and we got the big news that everybody has been waiting for. So if we had a drum roll in our audio clips, I would be playing it right now, or Sam would, and we don't. So the big news is that Diana Gabaldone announced that she had finished, at least on her end, Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone.
Yay! However,
so
she
we
was
have
very
no
quick. Well, that's what she was very quick to say. She said, okay, I'm finished, but to get the actual publication date, you got to talk to the publishers because there's a lot of stuff. Oh, you reposted her list of all of the things that have to happen between now and then.
Yes, and I heard from another friend of mine who said that there are actually more steps in there than we know, who knows what she's talking about. And it sounds like there is quite a bit that Diana left out of it, which I'm sure, but we'll just have to wait and see how it goes, I think a couple of the different groups are taking bets, for want of a better word, on publication date. And just so that everybody knows this, when we actually have a publication date, I have been saving and collecting bee-related things for nearly 2 years now. And I will be having some sort of a giveaway, whether I give everything away at once or whether for some other events. We don't know yet. But look to 3FI Space the day a publication date is announced. And we will have some sort of an exciting, fun contest.
Yay.
So, yay.
If there's anybody out there who is listening live and can text to one of the three of us, one of our listeners was just texting me saying that she just keeps hearing the Skyboat song playing over and over again.
Oh, no.
And, you know, we're actually in the episode. It says live episode. So, and there's the two of you. So, and the Skyboat song's definitely not playing anymore. So I don't.
Please make sure you have logged into the correct
episode.
The correct episode. There will be two episodes showing on the Outlander Gab on the air for today, and one of them just says technical difficulties. Click on that one, please. And don't click on the one with all of the information and the slideshow. And, of course, nobody is hearing this if they're clicked into the wrong
actually,
one.
Actually, Yvonne, I just got somebody who said that she's hearing live, and the original person just said, never mind, it was her browser issue. So it just, I gotta multitask because I got, because, you know, I wanted to make sure that we weren't just talking to ourselves, although I'm more than happy to talk with you two at any time.
Absolutely. We can do that.
Oh, man.
So what else did we get this week?
Men in Kilts.
There was an announcement.
We'll talk about that.
Right.
There was a what?
There was an announcement of another video event with Diana.
Oh, there was?
Did anybody see that one?
No.
We are not on the top of our game, ladies and gentlemen. So I am trying to find this, and I will find it eventually. But, yes, we had a lot of fun, those of us who did one recently that she did. And my computer's not coming up with anything.
With the nachos, North American. I know.
I'm sitting in a hotel with pretty crappy internet, so I may not be able to find it. So if somebody else can go to Diana's Twitter page, because it's on there somewhere in with all of everything else. But look through Diana's Twitter page, because there is notice of another one that you can purchase.
Yeah, very good.
And speaking of, you mentioned Kat of Kat and Kilts. She had the second Liz Bolton event last Saturday.
That was
yes,
fun.
And you guys went to that one, right? I went to the first, and you guys...
We did.
So tell me what I missed on the second one, because I just had too much to do to... I couldn't go to the second. I love Liz.
We have no idea what you saw in the first one.
Right. I was thinking...
The same stuff. The only thing that would be different was the questions, you know, because the question and answers were actually just as interesting as I thought, you know, her initial public, you know, production. Good question.
They were all good questions, but I would have to rewatch it to have it stick in my brain. So
yeah, same. I mean, I asked the question. It wasn't one of the most interesting questions, because I have one of the panels of the fabric from the brown dress.
Oh, that's right.
And she talked about that a little bit. And she showed the back of it and how it's got all the threads. And she said, we trimmed the threads. And I thought, I can trim the threads because there's so much in the back. It just covered the thread. And I thought, I don't think I can cut that. I'm afraid to. So that's, I asked, can I cut that? And she's like, oh, you have to do it carefully around this and around that and blah, blah, blah. I was like, ooh, okay.
And
yeah,
I do have the information.
So you have that.
Sorry.
What's that?
Oh, the information.
I have the information about, now, I actually had seen this, but I went past it because I thought it was the same one. It's the Literary Southwest Online. It looks like April 2nd at 7 p.m. Diana Gabaldon will be featured, our author, at the Literary Southwest Online. The event will be live streamed via YouTube. So we'll make sure that it's out there on the 3F by Space website, the link to go there. It doesn't look like there is a limit or a cost. I'm reading and I'm talking at the same time. So there's your multitasking for you. Register for
Very
Zoom
good.
Interactive format besides Diana Gabaldon's photograph. So that would probably have a cost to it. www.yc.edu/literarysw. So we'll. But yes, April 2nd. So if you're doing nothing April 2nd, there you go.
It's my brother's and my cousin's birthday. And in 1975, on April 2nd, I was driven to the hospital to have surgery on my knee. And it took my dad 45 minutes to get me to the hospital and 9 hours to get home because we had a freak snowstorm.
Oh, my God.
And you were three and you remember this?
No. 1975, I was not three.
Oh.
I was in high school. You
sorry.
May have been three, since you are younger than I am. But
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Let's go
okay.
with, yeah, you,
you
were
know,
three in 1973. Let's just go with that.
There you go. At least you weren't saying, and you were 30 at that point?
No.
So I look really good for my age. So we had all that. That's all very exciting.
And that's April 2nd, but April 3rd, there is a free online play. This is the play without a title. That's Alexander Vlahos. We were just talking about him. He is going to be in this play. So if you want to get an idea of how playing our Alan Christie, you can send an email out to, I think he posted it on his Twitter and Instagram, but it was, you actually sent an email and just said, hey, can I have a ticket? And they send you the information.
Ooh.
So hold on. I'm trying to find the email that I sent it to because it's called the far away plays, plural, @gmail.com. Just send an email and say, I'd like a ticket. And Saturday, the 3rd of April, it said 7 p.m. I'm assuming it's 7 p.m. UK time. So I actually blocked my time out. I'll know when I get the link sent to me, you know, because it'll probably have. But I made sure that I was available at 7 in the evening as well as 5 hours earlier in the afternoon for my time.
Right, just in case.
Right.
Good. I would like to plug something for one of our Scottish Outlander friends. Well, she's actually Irish, but for the Inverness Outlanders. When Sam and Graham did their initial filming for what was at the time supposed to be Clanlands, they actually met up with the Inverness Outlander group with a couple of the people there who are on the Inverness women's shinty team. And the Inverness Outlanders were very disappointed that it did not make it into what eventually became Men in Kilts. And I knew about this earlier because Sinead Robertson asked me to had a picture in of this event, and then she had to let me know that they would not be in the show. But I noticed that earlier today she did post a link in Outlandishly 3 of My Space, and I'm sure it is in other groups, to the video to actually see Sam and Graham on the shinty field. And I have not had a chance to watch this again. I've been playing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles today. But if you want to see Sam and Graham probably being majorly outclassed by all of these great women and the women's shinty team, you can find that video and go and watch that.
And
I'm sure that's a lot of fun.
This episode was kind of a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. But no automobiles.
It was.
Like Planes, Trains, and Trains.
Planes, right. Trains, bikes, and camper vans.
So I actually have. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm not used to the delay. I'm not used to the. It was really you were going to talk about the trains, planes, and automobiles.
Go ahead.
Well, before we start getting into Men at Kilts, there were actually a couple of events. What I like to you know how I like to keep the list of events now. Some of them have no Outlander cast yet announced for it, but at least it's nice to see that some of these events are actually announcing that in the fall or later in the winter they're going to be having them. So San Diego Comic-Con had said earlier on that they were going to do a smaller event. They're doing it Thanksgiving weekend of 2021. Now there's a lot of people who are not happy about that. In their minds, it made sense because then people have a 3-day weekend and they don't have to take time off. Most of us, if we've been accruing vacation times, time is not a problem. But we also haven't seen our family and friends for Thanksgiving. And so doing it on Thanksgiving, I'm not sure how that one's going to fly. But again, I haven't seen any Outlander cast or anything announced for that. Emerald City Comic Con. I will tell you about that one. Yes, tell me about that. We'll see you for that one.
They did put out a subsequent statement saying, we realize that a lot of you think this is a crappy weekend. But as we were looking at what's already been booked in the convention center, this was the only long period of time we could get far enough out that we think it could go on.
Gotcha.
And there are a fair number of regional cons that do happen traditionally that weekend, but they're not the kind of thing that people fly in for and get hotels and, you know, have such a major big deal. So you can do your family Thanksgiving thing on Thursday and wake up and drive 2 hours to your local con, which is not going to be the case for most people for SDCC.
No.
I have not talked to the owner of 3F by Space to find out what he thinks may happen, if we will be going or if some of people will be going. I did ask my husband, would you like to golf in San Diego over Thanksgiving? And have not yet gotten a response. So, because I have gone to most of the last few Comic-Cons, so we'll see about this one.
Right. Well,
anyway, okay,
we'll keep
so go on, Emerald City.
No, that's good. But as you were just saying, it actually dovetails in with what you were saying, because Emerald City Comic-Con as well has announced that there'll be a December 2021 date. So, you know, I think it's unfortunately for us, it's the same weekend as Through the Stones in Iowa in December. So it's that first weekend in December. So, again, I don't know that Emerald City Comic-Con would have had any Outlander cast. They have once, but they usually do get a couple of good headliners, but who knows who they'll actually have. So again, November, December, definitely looking good. I can speak a little bit just to be really vague. Outlandish Vancouver is always in October. We're still working hard and monitoring everything to make sure that it's safe and we can go. But I mean, as we get closer, it's starting to look better, but it's still really difficult to confirm anything when all of the states and all of the countries and all of the counties have their own travel restrictions and safety and how many people can meet in a specific room inside and all. So everybody's got their eyes open for that one. But and last but not least, virtuals are still happening tomorrow. Yeah, I was going to say this Wednesday. That would be tomorrow. Sam Hewen is doing that Chase United Zoom party. So you had to have had, remember we talked about this last week, you had to have a Chase United. I've been seeing people who have gotten their kits. They sent along it looked very much similar to what you got in your press kit, Erin. It had a book and a flask and chips and tea and cute little.
I didn't get a flask.
Oh, you didn't get a flask? Well, that's Sam's doing, I guess. But it was.
She also didn't get a bottle of whiskey.
I brought the whiskey
because I didn't live in New York or L.A. or apparently in the UK. So,
but speaking of whiskey, you saw that there's going to be another release of the Sassenach whiskey in August.
Oh,
so
I
he announced
see that.
That this week. Yes.
Well, I hope I can maybe manage it that time.
For those of you who haven't bought before, and you're, if you're interested, definitely go out there and register. Both the Sassenach Spirit site lets you put your name and where you're at, and they'll notify you when things are going to be going on sale in your state or in your area, because remember, only certain states had had the license or the paperwork to be able to sell or distribute in those states. And the other place that has gotten inventory to sell both times is reservebar.com. So if you go to Reserve Bar, you can also sign up to be notified when, if and when they get additional inventory. I'm actually just excited that I had stuff to, you know, events that are starting to, no, there's other ones again that are, you know, either were for sale a year or two ago and had been postponed. I'm waiting for reconfirmations and restatements of who's going to be at those and whatnot. And then I'll add them to my list, but I know that there's a couple as they go, but again, it's difficult. I don't want to sit there and publicize something if they're also planning on moving dates again or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Too much in the air.
Close, but very, very, very close.
Very good. So then we had Men and Kilts. So if you want to call in and talk to us about it, you can go ahead and dial in now. That would be just fine with us. It's the phone number, Sam, is sitting right in front of you.
It's 929. Yeah. I was wondering if you had it in by heart. I was going to be very impressed. The call-in number is 929-477-3898. That's, again, 929-477-3898.
Very good.
But,
yeah, I do think I have it memorized, but I sat in the wrong airline seat today, so I'm not trusting myself to give somebody correct information. So that's just the way it goes. So call in and chat with us. Tell us what you thought. You know, we're closing in. We have two episodes left, and what kind of grade do you think it's getting? What kind of grade would you give?
This episode was not long enough, but I laughed and got a kick out of it more than I have, I think, on the other ones. There were just some really funny moments.
What in particular did you like?
Well, like when they were in the van, I think it was after they showed Loch Ness, they were rocking out, like singing metal, and Graham was going, Satan, Satan, Satan. Anyway, and then Graham's Southern accent.
He does a good American accent. Yes.
That was funny, though. The whole thing was just sort of a funny interaction. And, I mean, I was really impressed that there wasn't more swearing on the side of that cliff.
Man.
I was really impressed, but I think maybe they edited out some of it. But finally, when he was down there on that ledge, he's going, WTF, effing this, effing that, blah, blah, blah. That was effing frightening. And I was like, oh, good, he's swearing. That's good, because he should be swearing. I would have been swearing. I wouldn't have been there.
We had a couple of between Graham's exclamations as he was on the cliff, you know, F this, F that. He also, Sam, that there was a midge on his balls. Sam told Graham that he could tell he was cold. And, you know, it was a little more off color than we've seen them be so far. So.
I thought it was cute when Sam was down on the ledge. And he leans out and he's like, oh, there's a lovely view of the coast. And Graham goes, I had a view of a rock.
So I was very conflicted in this episode because I watched it the first time and I had some definite things that I had written down as things to talk about. But so then I watched it a second time, and I had my husband Charlie come and watch it with me. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I laughed at some of those parts. My husband actually laughed out loud on the, you know, oh, there's a midgie on your balls, and he punched his laugh. I thought that was actually very funny, and Charlie enjoyed it himself. And he actually thought it was a very fun show. It was, he liked the camaraderie between the two. Mm-hmm. He didn't see, now, of course, he also didn't catch what I thought were bad edits. So here they are, they're on a ferry to Loch Ness, yes. And then all of this, no, I'm sorry, they're on a ferry to Skye, and then all of a sudden they're at Loch Ness. And it, having been in both of those places, there is no ferry to Skye that will take you to Loch Ness. So clearly that was a, and my husband said, well, I just assumed that they were taking the ferry to Loch Ness. And I said, no, they were taking the ferry to Skye. So I just thought that that was an odd thing. And again, many people probably wouldn't have caught that or questioned it, but it was
interesting.
Yeah, I caught
that definitely. But...
did you catch it?
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, wait a minute. They're on a ferry, and now they were on the ferry, and then they were in the van, then they were in Loch Ness, and then they were pulling into a parking lot somewhere else, and I thought, and I was trying to figure out by their clothes, okay, he's wearing the blue shirt here, is he wearing the blue shirt there? That was the other thing I was doing, I was trying to figure out.
Now, what I thought, the Loch Ness section was great, except...
mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. They had Gary in a rowboat for a couple of hours. He was on screen for maybe a couple of minutes, but he didn't speak for any more than maybe a minute. Has anybody in the world ever spent any significant time with Gary and had him not speak for at least 15, 20 minutes on how are you doing today? So it's a shame because I'm sure he would have had a lot of really good I mean, he likes history as much as Graham, so it would have been good information, I think, about the lock or about locks in general or about Scotland. So I thought that was a missed opportunity, but that's probably a timing thing. Again, I'm editing. I'm talking about the edit.
The show needs to be at least an hour long.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay.
I did pull the section of Gary out and noted it in my review this week. Because that was an original Clanlands piece of film.
So they didn't recreate it. They actually did use the original?
Right. Yes.
That's interesting. Yes. Good.
And they actually, they noted it in the book. They talked about it, how Graham did not want to get in that boat with Gary. He did not want to climb over the rocks. And it was really a pretty funny little segment. So...
I think, if I remember correctly,
it was on like page 195 of Clanland.
Yeah.
You can go back and read that for yourself or just go to the review and I've got it there.
I think if you pay attention too, you can see their interactions are less sort of
scripted
and they're a little more natural while they're there.
Right.
Even though but it's edited out, so you're probably not seeing as much of it. But
do you want to hear what my you know, again, had pluses and minuses for me. Overall, I enjoyed it, but do you want to know what my biggest pet peeve of this particular episode was?
Definitely.
Yes.
There were two missed opportunities to do what this show was supposed to do, which was to talk about Scotland and to talk about... So at one point, they started talking about the Isle of Eigg, E-I-G-G, and of course, and they were joking, saying, which of course stands for, and Sam said egg, and then they said no, but then they never actually said no, it stands for. So I had to look it up because inquiring minds and all that. So it just means notched island. But even if they had just put that on the bottom, even if they didn't want to do a voiceover or if they didn't think to say something, they could have edited in later to say Gould's notched island in Gaelic or something like that. And then the second one, which I thought they truly missed an opportunity for because there's a lot of story behind it, was when they were on Skye. And he pointed out the old man of stores, the craggy. Remember, I sent you that picture earlier today of this outcropping of rocks with this one rather tall phallic-looking stone. So there's actually quite a few different stories about that, and I've heard a couple of them from Scottish tour guides who actually said that it was originally translated as not old man, but maybe old man body part. So actually, so there are stories where it's called the penis of stores as opposed to the, you know, so I think that there's other ones that are less risque where it's just an old man who lay down and died, you know, but they could have talked about the various stories that are out there because there is more than one. If you could probably talk to three different tour guides and they're going to give you three different stories, but they're all approximately the same as to how it was named, but they never talked about it. They said, hey, do you know why it's named the Old Man of Stores? And they never actually answered the question.
No.
Am I being too picky?
You know, No, because that's biggest
information that would have been nice to hear without a doubt.
One of my biggest issues with this show is it really hasn't decided what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And the show suffers because of that. And I think that needs to decide, is it a Scottish travelogue to get people interested in coming to Scotland and enjoy the beauty of Scotland, or is it the Sam and Graham show?
Right. Is it a buddy
and,
thing? Buddy film.
Right.
Buddy,
yeah. And the Sam and Graham show doesn't have to exclude, you know, because their whole idea originally was to travel around this camper van and discover Scotland. But if you read Clanlands, which is, you know, we all got to just look at Clanlands before the show came out, it's hard to reconcile what you expect of the show with what we got.
Right.
And I think that somebody commented it on a link to the review this week saying that this show would not necessarily get somebody interested in coming to Scotland if they hadn't already been interested in. And if they were watching the show, it's more likely that they're watching it because they're a Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish fan instead of a Scotland fan. And I think if they decide to go to a second season, they need to decide what direction they're going in.
Well, I think Sony did the show a disservice by jumping in and taking over and making it all slick and whatever. They probably should have just stuck with what Sam and Graham did initially.
And then for season two, work out whatever choice bits they decided to change. But I don't think any of us would give up on it. I think the majority of people who are Sam Heughan fans and Outlander fans would continue to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that people who aren't, it wouldn't have a whole lot of draw for. You wouldn't know these personalities. You wouldn't know why they're doing what they're doing. And there's not enough information about any one subject on Scotland to get you interested enough to stay and watch.
Right.
Which is a shame because the cinematography actually had some very good shots, but they were very brief shots and they were sort of intermixed and in between the segments. And it's a shame because, again, gorgeous, but they didn't actually ever say, hey, if you really liked that picture of that, where do I have to go to see that? Nobody knows.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe at the end, during the credits, they could have some information about the location.
Hmm?
Well, the credits frequently run in a tiny little box on your TV. You know, size of the typeface is, you know, minus 3,000. So, and it flies by.
Right.
So putting anything in the credits is a graveyard. And, you know, except for big budget films shown in the theater where people are actually going to sit and watch the credits, once it gets to TV, they've started the next show and they're running the credits, you know, in a sidebar. So, but the clips they show of Outlander, I understand why they do it.
they're trying to cross-pollinate the shows, you know. And since Outlander was very hard at being authentically Scottish in its history and its filming and its costumes and everything else, okay, now all of a sudden we've got this large body of work to demonstrate what it is they're talking about. The dancing and the costumes and the tartans and the, you know, the on and on and on. But I feel like it pulls away from the idea of the show. You know, let's get to know Sam and Graham on their own and not necessarily for their roles in Outlander. We already know that they're stars of Outlander. We know that already, those of us who are fans. And the people who are not already fans of Outlander apparently don't care enough to watch the show. So that's just the truth. They haven't watched the show. Are those clips from Outlander going to get somebody to say, oh, maybe I shouldn't watch that show? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I think that's what Starz is banking on, but I don't know if it'll work.
I think it's unlikely.
So.
Well, I had one other thought about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the very end when Sam pulls out the flask and they share it. It's COVID.
Well, they've been in the same bubble, though. If you've been traveling around for weeks, you're in the same bubble, so.
True, but still.
Right.
I mean, so, like, sensitized to things. I'm like, they're sharing the flask.
Whiskey kills everything. Whiskey is going to kill those germs dead. No.
Well, there is that. Okay. Oh, it's funny, though, the things we notice now. It's like,
I know.
Sharing what? Anyway.
Off topic a little bit, but on that same, did you see the news article today that said after you've had, like, your first Moderna, you know, vaccine, after the 2 weeks, you're actually upwards to 80% sure. So, and then after the second one, that's where it gets into the 90s or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
So realistically, it's been 2 weeks since I've had my first shot. So when I go to see my daughter at Easter, I may actually be able to hug her. I'm very excited about this because they've actually already had it down in India. And, you know, they had.
That's
so
cool.
It's just I'm actually very excited about that.
Well, that's the other thing. I had mine, and I'm driving my mom up to the Mayo Clinic in April, and I'm so glad that I will be pretty well protected. And she's already had all of hers, so it's good.
Good.
It'll be less nerve-wracking for sure.
Oh. Yeah, I've had my first. I'll have my second 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
Yay. Sure how I'm going to get my.
So we can hug each other.
Yay. And then we
That'll
head back to COVIDA. Davenport, COVIDA, Florida.
Okay. Davenport, Florida. All right. Well.
Yep, that's where we are. But you know, it's funny because when you call up the zip code for this place, you get either Kissimmee, which it isn't, or Champions Gate, which is not a town, or Davenport. So, you know, it's hard to figure out where I actually am going to be. Own is a place. So,
well,
ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
I don't have any callers on the line. So if, you know, we talked a little bit about what we liked and what we didn't like for Men and Kills, but if you'd like to add your two cents or about anything we just talked about, please give us a call, 929-477-3898. We'll be standing by waiting to chat with you.
Yes.
Otherwise, Aaron's going
to
fall
asleep.
Just go to sleep.
Yeah, Aaron's dozing off right now.
Well, you're already an hour ahead of us,
well,
so you've got that going for you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quarter to 10, so.
Oh, don't yawn. Oh, no, don't yawn.
I'm sorry. My laptop hasn't yet picked up the time change. But, yeah, so the other thing that happened this week, attached to Men and Kilts, we got a behind-the-scenes
trailer for Outlander season 6. The one scene that struck me was, do we think that was Major Donald McDonald?
Yeah, I was wondering who that guy was.
Red coat?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. And I sure hope stuff happens with him and Adza.
Yes.
And the pig.
I mean,
I told you that pig doesn't like him either. Nobody likes that man.
No.
The scene I, of course, saw was where they showed Fergus collapsed on the ground and Jamie, you know, talking to him. So I'm hoping that he gets the scene that he deserves. So keep our fingers crossed for that. And, of course, John and Malva, they're just adorable. They're just so cute.
Adorable.
I really can't wait to see these guys next season.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing if
looking forward to it.
Were there any pictures of Lauren pregnant? No. I'm pretty sure that she's this is maybe the first season we might get to see her actually in a corset and not a baby bump.
Well, the only picture we saw of her was from the waist up. So
she
was waving, remember? So
what book is Henri Christian in? I couldn't say that.
And I honestly can't remember in the books now because I'm reading that. I'm rereading everything in preparation for Bees, as I do. So I'm only up to An Echo in the Bone. So I don't recall if she has more kids.
Yeah.
It just seemed like she always is just popping them out.
Oh, yeah, my Bees reread will start as soon as I finish the book I'm working on right now. I actually brought Outlander with me.
Do have a caller. Would you like to? I just want to be able to do it. I have the power. So can I do that? I'm gonna. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Kathy McQuiston.
Wait,
hello there.
And you weren't even connected when I said such wonderful things about you. You can pay me later.
Well,
I talked about your flint.
On if the report can get back to me that you said nice things.
See? We talked about the Flintstone song because we were talking about the Christies, and so I talked about your Flintstone song, which was so cute.
It was so cute.
I have dreams of being the female Weird Al Yankovic of Outlander.
I don't think too many other people have applied for that position. So,
if I sang just a little bit better, where it wasn't so painful to get that sound that you hear, takes a heck of a lot of work and a lot of free retuning software because I'm too cheap to buy the real auto-tune stuff to get it to a point where it's like, I don't think people's ears will bleed if they listen to that. if I could sing better, I would be putting those puppies out all the time.
You actually sounded just fine. It was a Flintstones rendition. So I mean, it's a cartoon. You couldn't have done it much harm. Yes, you did a great job.
Yeah. Thank you. Well,
it was a nice earwig for the day.
Okay. Well, I got it last weekend after I saw the Meet the Christies. We met them on Friday, was it? No, it was the week before. Whatever week we met them, I got that because it was Christies, Meet the Christies. And I went, oh, my gosh, the Flintstones. And and so I spent about 5 days talking myself out of it. I have a really strange creative process. But anyway,
it seems to work for you.
Yeah, well, I'm still alive. I wanted to say, I totally agree with you, Sam. I actually got angry at the things that you pointed out from Men in Kilts. I was so mad because it's supposed to be teaching you about Scotland and places in Scotland, and that whole, oh yeah, we're going to Sky. Oh wait, look here, we're going to take a little trip on Loch Ness on the way to Sky. And it's like,
so
yeah, I don't think so. And then the whole, like you said, they bring up these things and they don't finish. They don't give you the ending of it. And so, again, it's the same thing that I've said that you all have said, which is time would make a big difference. And mm-hmm. and Aaron, I think if they had that extra time, they could better decide what it is they want to be.
Yeah.
They would have the room to breathe and do something. But I mean, it's still like we keep saying, it's still, I'm watching it. I'm not missing it. So
right.
they know at least part of their audience well enough.
So are you saying Sam and Graham left you unsatisfied? Is that what you just said, Kat?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. I felt extremely unsatisfied. I was shocked at how unsatisfied I felt. So, yeah, we'll leave it at there. But
okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, Allison, I cut you off, too.
It's okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
No, go, keep going.
I was just going to then segue into the season 6 preview, and it is interesting, you know, that how big a focus they're having on the Christies. And I know it's a huge story, but you never know which of her huge stories within her book the show is going to choose to spend time on. But
right.
If you think about this time last year, we got this time in the filming of season 5, we got very generic the Frasers. You know, we got Katrina, Sam, Rick, and Sophie, you know, and it was very, very generic, and there weren't new people in the promos this early on. But, like, think about it. They did the big rollout announcement, and one of the things that really bugs me about whoever decides on the PR is that, like a lot of other shows, when they actually cast somebody, they announce it before they start filming. But Outlander, like, it's like nuggets of gold, and they hold on till they're almost done filming, and then they announce the cast. And so this was kind of a big deal that this early in the filming, they did the big Christie reveal. And then almost the entire, well, at least wouldn't you say about half of it was showing the Christies while they were voiceovering? It was just very interesting to me. So I think that's going to be a big that they're laying down the groundwork for that being a major, major storyline this season.
So, and remind me, Kathy, how many seconds of that promo did we see Caitlin or Paul as Lizzie and the Beardsleys?
Zero. Which is why I was making that statement, because I'm really like, oh my God, it's supposed to be the season of Lizzie.
That's an important storyline.
That's the only storyline out of book 6. I'm sure there's some other things that happen.
I apologize,
I'm
guys.
Sure.
I just set
I,
you
I
up.
Recall.
I knew exactly where you were going, Kat, and I just had to pick that one for you.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you saw, but I actually had a little thing. Like, I stayed up doing something else, and I didn't watch Men in Kilts right when the little promo came out, but around 2 a.m. I went, oh, yeah, the promo. And so I went and watched it. And there's that inside the house or the cabin, and Claire and Tom are sitting together. And then behind Tom, you can see there's a young woman with long hair and a cheap faux fur leopardy robe. I don't know if you caught that.
No.
And it's, yeah, and I freaked out because it's like we rarely ever I mean, the only time we see people in their costumes covered up to keep warm, they have this, like, gray kind of robe that Katrina wears. And then I've seen the big coat, the puffy coat.
Yeah, the big down jacket,
And but this was, like, a, like, fur, fake fur leopardy robe. And it's in, and the woman standing out of camera shot behind, and it because of the bulk, it looked bigger to me than Jessica Malva.
So, Kat, you caught the Easter egg. You caught the Easter egg. The surprise of the season is that there's a cameo by Carol Baskins.
I know. That's it. I didn't know who it was. But I was trying to make it Caitlin. I was like, because she had long hair, but it was not dark hair. It looked, because of the light, it looked really light brown. And we've seen Caitlin's hair down, Lizzie's hair down just a couple times, and usually just a headshot, so you can't see how long her hair is. And so I was like, oh, that's Caitlin. That's Lizzie. She's waiting to go on. I just know it. And I just had myself all talked into it. But, I mean, like, an hour later, I was like, no, that's Jessica. Dang it. And then I did consult with Liz Bolton, and she did tell me they have those fake furry robe things for the women to wear when they're actually on set, but they're not on camera. And they just need to be warmer, and they can get them off really quickly. As opposed to those big down, those puffy jackets that probably also rustle and make noise. So they probably need something soft to, you know, in case she moves or something. But anyway, for a second I thought I'd Caitlin spotting, and alack, no. But I did want to ask you, Sam, about Fergus kneeling on the ground and Jamie comforting him.
Yeah, looks good, doesn't it? That's promising.
It looks like there may be a story there, too, which would be nice for one of our favorites to actually do something besides try and find the camera line behind Sam.
Well, and again, those are in the book. So there's two major scenes that he should have, one with Katrina and one with Sam, and they're both from the books. But, you know, I was just hoping that they wouldn't film them and then they get edited out, or that they wouldn't film them at all, or that they would give, you know, Claire's scene to Jamie or Jamie's scene to Claire. Who knows? But we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, and who knows? I mean, you guys, they're still using the Roger holding an ice pack on Brianna's head as promo pictures for Outlander when that scene was cut, you know, where they knocked heads. And so, and then they kissed, and then Ron decided they hadn't earned having a kiss at that point, which is like, did you see them in Boston last season? I don't know. But yeah, there's just so many things like that. But I was happy about that, and Caitlin's sightseeing a lot in Glasgow, so
they all have some downtime. I love those behind the scenes pictures. They're not on set, but there's a little bit of downtime for some of those characters, but they can't go home because of COVID. So, you know, I love the fact that they're all sort of hanging out and taking pictures and traveling around.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, I just love that they're like that and they get along so well. So those are my 25 cents worth of thoughts on the two subjects.
Always worth the price of admission, always.
And this time we just
and
need your
so
work
kind.
To actually listen to the show. So.
Well, excellent.
So
and one last
calling in.
Yeah, I was going to say one last hook. I mean, when is your next, Liz? Or have you? I know you've got a newsletter out there now to let people know, but do you have any idea of what the next topic is or what the next date is? Because we might plug it for you.
Well, we don't have the date, but we're planning in April. So it's at minimum 2 weeks. It's going to be minimum 2 weeks. But,
good deal.
From now. But we're still discussing what the next thing should be, whether it should be a full-on another really in-depth Outlander, like where she really, really talks about the wedding dress, say, and shows how the actual stitching and how she does it and, like, do demos of it, or whether we go one of the other ways that we were eventually going to go, which is like a Stirling Castle episode or event, because she's just brilliant at history. She could be a tour guide there, but she worked on the cloth of estate when they were redoing Stirling Castle, the big tapestries that like have the unicorn and the lions and the different symbols. They're all called cloth of estate. And she didn't make all of them, but like she did some of the crowns and some of the other things on the unicorn. And that it was a long project. And then when they had the quote unquote grand opening at Stirling Castle, Queen Elizabeth came. And so they were there for that. So she has some stuff to talk about that. So I kind of think that would be interesting to have that kind of, you know, following the men in kilt. Are we an embroidery show or are we a Scottish history show?
I'm very excited that you are doing that. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, and thank Liz to us, you know, for sharing all of her talents and her knowledge.
Yeah. Well, thank you. If anybody's listening that besides you guys, I want to at least thank you guys, because we so appreciate all the people that came. It's really been wonderful, and I mean, like, we already have 50-some people signed up on the mailing list already.
Oh, that's
very good.
So you can it's pinned to my Twitter, Cats and Kilt. It's the pinned tweet on my Twitter, the link to sign up for the mailing list if anybody wants to sign up. And, thanks for plugging it.
Oh,
we really appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we do actually have, it looks like, one more caller. It looks like from the 206.
Yay.
So we're stuck on West Coast there. Let me grab this one. Hello, caller. I think
Hi,
I recognize this phone number. I knew it. Okay. See, I know numbers.
Hi, Karen.
Who memorizes
Hi,
numbers
everybody.
Anymore, right?
Well, I wasn't going to call in. I actually was just listening, and then I heard Kathy, and I just had to tell, you know, if anyone was going to ever get another chance to do one of the Liz events that she did. I thoroughly enjoyed it, so I would really recommend anybody. It was fun, yeah. It was really fun. It was really interesting. I'm not a sewer or embroiderer, but it was just really fascinating to see the whole process and, you know, all of that. But anyway. Two other brief comments were,
sure.
Totally agree on the men in kilts was, drove me up a wall. We're going to the Isle of Lewis. No, we're in Loch Ness. No, we're on the Isle of Skye. No, we're in a biplane. No,
right.
And I've been to all of those places. And so I was actually looking forward to seeing them. It was like, okay, what happened to that? What happened to Lewis? I mean, I enjoyed the, you know, all the funny parts, of course, and it's beautiful and all those things, but that drove me crazy. So that's all I have to say about that. The other thing, what my other commentary was about the season 6 promo, I found it really interesting how they're aging every character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah.
It's don't like, they have to? They probably
know, like,
have to because
well,
they,
right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I really noticed it, like, to me, Roger and Bree looked quite a bit older, you know. I mean, her hair looked a little more, how is this going to sound bad, like faded, like, you know, her face, they look fuller. I don't know. You know, obviously Roger's got the full beard that gives them a, you know, really different look.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, we've seen them age Sam and Kat, but I don't really notice it on some of the other characters. I mean,
no, I haven't seen any child actor pictures, because that will definitely help us to set the how much time has passed, because you know
definitely.
Jem and
so
Jermaine,
all of a sudden,
yeah,
Jemmy's 10,
yeah.
They're going to go, wow, time has passed, you know, or whatever.
Teenagers. They're teenagers.
Oh, we have Jem and Jermaine.
Yeah, so,
Mom, hey, Ma.
I mean, I'm glad. I mean, it was really nice of them to do something, you know. I mean, it was fun to see and exciting, and now we can all sit and speculate for the next however long, you know. About what they're including or not including and stuff. But, yeah, anyway, that was really about it for me.
Good. I'm glad you called in. It's been nice talking with you. And thank you for validating our opinion.
It's been so long, Samantha.
I know.
Anyway, I will get going. And nice to talk to you. Aaron, Allison, good to see you, not see you, talk to you.
We will talk to you soon.
You notice she specifically didn't say it was nice to talk to me. It's never, she doesn't like it.
Oh, no.
Nice talking to you, Allison and Aaron.
Talking about how we don't want to bore everybody how often we talk.
Karen.
No, I completely understand. I just thought that was funny. Well,
no.
You take care, and
okay.
We'll talk soon,
okay.
I'm sure.
Take care. Okay,
bye.
I care. Do we have anybody else on the line there?
I do not have any, no. So we've got...
Let me just bring up something that hopefully we will have for you next week. Goal issues hopefully resolved. Next week's Men in Kilts is Clans and Tartans. And I am 95% sure, I should actually know tomorrow when I see the screener, but that Prickly Thistle, which is something that most of us are familiar with, it's a woolen mill in Scotland that came back, that was brought back in the last couple of years with a lot of support from Outlander fans, that Claire from Prickly Thistle will... I will be able to talk with her about their participation. That I'm getting all, you know, things mixed up here, but I'm 95% sure that Prickly Thistle will be in next week. And I will be talking with Claire from Prickly Thistle the Monday after the episode airs. And so I will have some information from her in my review, and then some. You know, it's the middle of the night in Scotland, so we really can't get them to come on the show live, except for when Jerry McMullen got up in the middle of the night
right.
And so sweetly called us a couple of years ago. But I will have some clips from chatting with her about Prickly Thistle, about Tartans, about their process there. So these are all things that I'm hoping to chat with her about. So. Plan on joining us in a week. And we just really have 2 more weeks of Men in Kilts. So we have on Easter we have Clans and Tartans, and then on the 11th we'll have the Culloden episode. The 1 hour that changed the course of Scotland.
Yep.
So
they should make it an hour-long show just in tribute, right? Are they going to do we'll get our hour-long show? No? We'll reenact
nice,
the Battle of Culloden in real time. That would be good. With midgies.
Well, we've already
seen
that.
Midgies.
With
Sam
midgies,
and Graham
right?
Against the midgies.
Well, Sam gets the midgies.
Yeah, Graham just kind of sails right through. So, that's pretty funny. But, yeah, so... and then whatever we do with this show after that, we don't really know. So, but we're going to try to come back occasionally. But I think we're going to say goodnight for right now. It's getting late here in Florida.
Past your bedtime.
We need to. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've had a long day, so I'm really glad that we could still get together today and talk about all things Outlander. But anybody else have any last words before I try to figure out how to play a recording? This may be the episode that never ends because I may not hit the right buttons, but thank you for trusting me with this, Erin.
Oh, I'm so glad that we decided to get somebody else to know how to do it.
All right.
Technical problems plague everybody occasionally. So,
you got
but thank
it.
You for listening. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Allison.
Thank
and
you.
We will see you next week.
All right. Next and we're going to go out by listening to Roger. How's that?
Very good.
She's gone.